Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is a Wednesday evening, February 8th, a little after almost 9:30, 9:20 p.m. Eastern. This is Under the Radar. Did I get the right podcast? Okay, good. I never
Wow.
know these days anymore. We do so many
I don't
shows.
know. Yeah, it's the Hoops
Championship Week Video
HD,
Notebook, what
right?
night number 17?
Yes.
night number negative 30 something, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
it is coming up though.
know.
So
I'm your host, Chad.
it could also be the State of the Union podcast where we applaud after everyone's mentioned.
I was a little disappointed that I was not mentioned in the State of the Union. I think I'm
Liar.
doing
Liar.
excellent.
Oh, wait, never mind. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got John Sleek over there. David Griggs below me. A little three-man show tonight. And Under the Radar is the show where we talk about all the conferences that are not normal multi-bid conferences. So we are not going to be talking about the power conferences, which are the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, or the SEC. We also do not discuss the normal multi-bid conferences, which are the American, the Mountain West, the Big East, and the West Coast Conference. Did I get that correct?
You did.
This year, the Atlantic 10 is down here under the radar. We relegated them down, right?
Yes, it is a normal multi-bid league, but this year it is not.
No, it is not. And the other disqualifier to be on this Under the Radar show is you cannot be in the top 25 of any of the major polls. It's been a little while, been 5 or 6 weeks now at least, but finally everybody from these conferences is back under the radar. We scooped them back in. We brought Charleston back. We brought Florida Atlantic back. So everyone's fair game for the show again tonight.
All right, I guess.
Is that good news or bad news? Who
I
knows?
don't know. I think it's good. It makes for a better show. I kind of hate that Florida Atlantic fell out of the rankings, but I think they're 26th. So next week they probably won't be on the show.
And Griggs, just to clarify for everybody, it's not that we don't care about the other conferences that we don't do on the show. What should people do if they want to hear about them?
There's two things. They could watch the Hoops HD report from the other night. We talked about
Right.
all nine of those leagues, or they could watch the bracket rundown show tomorrow, where we'll talk about a lot of those teams. It has been a very busy week. It's been kind of an exciting night, but most of the games that with the top 25 teams, we're not going to talk about.
Right.
Like West Virginia, Iowa State, very important game. Not even going to mention it.
Vanderbilt, thrilling buzzer-beating win over Tennessee.
Not
Three
mentioning
quarters,
it
a
tonight.
17-game losing streak or something to the Vols. We don't care about it. We just don't
Right,
care.
not tonight, we don't.
Let's get right to our conferences. We do like to go through them in alphabetical order, but we like to start with a feature conference. And I look at the list of conferences we haven't featured yet. I'm kind of surprised we haven't featured this one yet. So I think it's time to talk a little Big West hoops tonight.
Oh, I love this league. In general, this is always a fun conference. The rivalries are good. The quality of play is good. It's exciting games. It causes me this and cocaine causes me to lose lots of sleep. And here we are again, just hugely competitive. Long Beach State was, I think, my preseason favorite. They were really disappointing out of conference, but lately, the Beach coming on strong and starting to play like the team that we thought they were. And while the Gauchos have been the best team overall, you get the sense that there's five or six teams that could win this conference tournament.
And a stunning upset in this conference league of this past week. We
Oh my
love the way the
God.
Gauchos have been playing. They go to Cal State Northridge, who has been pathetically bad, 328 net after the game, and they lose there by five.
Not to mention they've hired coaches in the past that have had checkered past and still weren't able to get wins nearly to the extent that they've had on Saturday night. I wonder who Santa Barbara was looking ahead to, because there's no other logic or reason for an upset like that.
It was just one of those things that you just couldn't believe, and you're watching it, and you just keep waiting for Santa Barbara to wake up and get control. And you realize with about 2 minutes to go that it wasn't going to happen. And yeah, one of those inexplicable. I don't think the Gauchos would have been selected even had they won out, but I think they would have at least been looked at, and maybe it was possible. Not now. That is an awful loss. Now, this is still a potentially a very dangerous team if they can win the conference tournament, but they're really going to be tested later this week when they go to the Beach.
Well, the saving saving grace for Santa Barbara here is that Irvine lost in overtime to Long Beach, so
yeah,
they couldn't totally capitalize on what happened to the Gauchos.
Right, and again, that's another really great rivalry in this conference, the black and blue rivalry between Beach and Irvine.
And it was a great game this year, that black and blue Irvine Beach game. Like you said,
yeah,
like I said, went overtime. Now, Long Beach is not, it's not like losing to the bottom of the conference, Northridge or Cal Poly. Long Beach is right in there.
And they've been playing well. Yeah.
And let's not overlook two other teams that are up there. Maybe three other teams are up there. Hawaii, Riverside, UC Davis, all having great years.
Yeah, I know they are. And UC Davis, kind of a fun story. And Riverside talked about dropping athletics or dropping a division entirely just about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe a few more. Here they are right within reach of – I think first place to make up two games with so few games remaining. But they can win the conference tournament. Like, by the time – this from the quarterfinals on is just going to be – great basketball.
Well, I mean, Riverside, you know, they went out to Bakersfield this week, lost it overtime. They then went to Cal State Fullerton, lost the game there. You know, these are the seventh and eighth place teams. Could they, if they had swept that, they would be right there tied with. They'd be in first place right now. They'd be at 10-2. So,
the little
bit of disappointing for Riverside this week. The 0-2 could have really put this team in a real nice spot for the conference going ahead. But I think it's going to be a great final couple of weeks in this conference.
Oh, it will be.
Look at these standings.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, Chad, I know all the brackets are up there. The Big West only takes 8. So,
they take all 11
now?
They increase to, I believe it's 10. I believe UC San Diego is not going to be going. But if you look up top there, there is a conference tournament tab. Since they moved the conference tournament out to Vegas, which I believe was in that first year after COVID, they did expand to include everybody, and they've kept it that way since then. So,
yes,
10 teams in, no UC San Diego. They are ineligible.
Yeah, so the push now is to get into the top 6, which there is kind of a defined. Okay, maybe it won't be as exciting as far as making the conference tournament, but ignite. I mean, every week,
well, if they took the top 8, it's pretty clear who the two that they would drop be dropped out of right now.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I expect the 7-10, the 8-9 games to be no contests, and if it's Bakersfield, Northridge, and Fullerton, Cal Poly as the standings are right now. But looking ahead this week, we got a lot more exciting games. If you look at starting Thursday night, Santa Barbara coming off the loss, got to go to Long Beach, another tough game. And Stalica Saturday night, national TV. I think it's a 10 p.m. Eastern ESPNU game. One of our favorite rivalries.
The River Vine Cup.
Oh. The River Vine Cup. And it means a lot this year.
It means a lot. Yeah.
We've also got Hawaii there. They've got a home game against Fullerton, which could be a little bit of a challenge. A couple of midnight games this week if you were into watching. It's a big week
for Irvine because instead, not just the River Vine Cup, but you also got the Gouch Eater Cup.
My cat is back on the podcast again, wanting to say hello to everybody. Oh, so,
Gouch Eater.
Gouch Eater Cup. What the heck?
Oh, God.
Okay.
The first edition of Gouch Eater Cup this year was one of Santa Barbara's bigger statement wins, probably their best win of the season, considering it was on the road. You just throw the records out when during the Gouch Eater Cup. We're doing it again.
It's going to be a fun conference the rest of the way. There's still a ways to go here yet.
I don't know if anybody's still watching, so let's just start going to the list of the leagues.
I'm sorry, as we're doing this, we're getting top 10 lists coming in for under the radar coming in on my emails. We just lost Stalica for some reason. One from our good friend Joby, who has the entire Mountain West Conference in his top 10 list.
Okay, that's
another one from Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org,
who's on a plane right now.
That has the entire. He's on a plane right now. He has the entirety of the ACC in his under the radar top 10 list. So we've really lost control of everything to do with under the radar. So I don't even know what's going on anymore. Let's go to the America East.
Okay.
And you know what? Since we're going to the America East,
but speaking of not
thing,
having control,
total messes tonight. Vermont, as we record this, the game is still going on. It should have gone final a while ago, but it's not. They are at Maine. They're up big right now in the second half. But this was the pregame scene in Maine tonight.
The floor was crooked. So
that's the sideline. Who is in charge of putting out the floor should know it's supposed to be a straight line. Am I correct?
I don't know how this happened exactly. I'm just a little flummoxed. Like, do they pick it up and lay it down? Is there a hockey team that? Happened?
Here's another site. At game time, 7 p.m. Eastern, after they discover this is what the game looked like. This is game time in Maine tonight, as they are taking the entire quarter to fix this problem.
I should add, that does not look like a hockey rink underneath there.
I think there was actually ice underneath those panels there on the floor. I believe those are a second layer of panels, but I'm not entirely certain.
I don't know, but speaking of off the rails, so this was definitely worthy of Hoops HD. Maine, who won at Boston College earlier in the year, by the way, hosting Vermont in a game that is a little bit important to the conference standings, and the floor was crooked, which caused the delay. Anyway, I thought you might feature their night just because of this. But as far as the standings go here, as it's up on the screen, Vermont, even with a loss, will still be in first place outright.
They're up 17 in the second half, and I don't think they have anything to worry about tonight.
So, again, this is game, I believe, 10. They'll have six games remaining with a two-game lead. So, if you're doing the magic numbers, UMass Lowell was probably the story coming into conference play and one of the better stories, at least under the radar stories of the year, still hanging tough. And while it's a three-way tie for second and pretty much a logjam between second and sixth, that would be big for Lowell if they could finish second because of the home court advantage that exists in this conference.
Right. And, Bryant right there with Lowell, they got a win in Troy, New York against Albany tonight. Albany playing at the Hudson Valley Community College this season because of the renovations going on to their arena.
Why, is there something wrong with the floor? Is their floor crooked?
I don't know. Well, their floor is Hudson Valley this year. So
yeah,
who knows? They will not be hosting the America East Conference Tournament game. They're not even going to be in the America East Conference Tournament. Like to be the ninth place team that does not qualify. Maine looking to be solidly in the field right now.
I know the way it's going. So, but keep in mind, like when you look at these standings and you look at the games coming up, how crucial it is to finish.
Huge week for Lowell. Lowell is at Vermont and at Bryant this week. I mean, what a week for them.
Yeah, it is. And they're in a race. Like I said, one game separates second and sixth. So one game separates hosting a semifinal game or not getting a home game at all in this tournament. So pivotal games the rest of the way.
No more home games for Maine for a while, so they'll have time to realign their floor.
Right, yeah.
Stalika, let's move on to another conference, maybe get a little sanity back in this podcast. The A-Sun, where we saw both first-place teams go down this week.
Yeah, I mean, first Liberty starts out with a somewhat close win at Austin Peay, and then they lose at Lipscomb, where there's no shame in that. You go to Kennesaw, they need a double overtime just to win against a Bellarmine team that's been injured and struggling this year. And on the Eastern Kentucky side of that trip, they were not quite as fortunate and ended up losing to the Colonels, who are only a game behind both Kennesaw and Liberty.
Yeah, and this conference, this closest things in the conference with Lipscomb, maybe three games back, but Eastern Kentucky just a game back now. And an Eastern Kentucky team I don't think we expected much out of. I don't think we've even mentioned them all season.
They've really caught fire lately. They're just kind of on a rampage, sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, when you look at just the string of wins they've put together, kind of, and again, another big week this week, they go to Queens, not the easiest road trip, but the way they've been playing, I don't know.
Well, but the game in the conference, I think, is Saturday's game, as they're going to be going to Liberty after that game at
Right.
Queens.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Kennesaw will be at Jacksonville State. And what are they doing over the weekend here? They're host. Oh, they got back to back against Jacksonville State. They that's their
Yeah.
travel partner, so they play them back to back this week. Let's keep things rolling here. Jump over to well, actually, before we get to the Big Sky, forgot I almost forgot about them. The A-10 is under the radar, so it's time to do a little A-10 discussion here, where Stalica VCU, despite losing a home game to Dayton, still maintains a lead in the conference, because St. Louis, because VCU had just beaten St. Louis on Friday night, so kind of an up and down week for VCU this week.
There are years when you want to have a road win exchange program in order to try to prop teams up towards a bubble. That is not going to be the case this year for the Atlantic 10 because everyone has been consistently inconsistent right here, and Fordham is suddenly a game and a half back of a BCU. If only the Rams had not gotten, well, forget the blowout against Dayton. Losing to Davidson at home is not been a decent result for the Rams. Now they've recovered quite nicely, unless you count the loss at Richmond on Sunday.
Yeah, they lost at Richard Fordham, came back, beat UMass tonight already. And Griggs, this is one of those teams with conferences where every time you look at a team that might be getting hot, might put a run together, something happens. Case in point, St. Bonaventure beats Dayton on Saturday, starts to take some notice of them. Then tonight they lose at home to LaSalle.
Yeah, this league had, well, it's just been underperforming all year long. I mean, if you look at what they did out of conference, nobody really did much of anything. And a lot of teams, quite frankly, didn't give themselves the chances to do much of anything. The ones that did failed. Fordham with a real nice out of conference record, but it was spectacularly weak. When you look at the overall strength of schedules,
Three
nobody.
310 with conference play already
Yeah.
in it. Yeah.
And look at that. Like with conference play, I count two teams with top 150 schedules, two teams that played schedules that are better than, that basically rank in the top half of college basketball. That just isn't good enough. That's why they're under the radar. They shouldn't be, but they are. I think VCU, St. Louis, and Dayton have all shown at times that they can play like a tournament caliber team. But the key phrase there is at times. They haven't consistently done it. And I think it's pretty safe to say whoever wins that last conference tournament game is getting the only bid.
I think you're pretty much right at this point. I don't really think there's t time left for anybody else to, even with a win out, to make a run. Although, if you look up top at our Hoops HD NCAA Tournament Survival Board, we haven't quite eliminated everybody out of this conference yet. But
Yeah.
it's gonna it basically, if somebody like VCU or St. Louis or Dayton won every game until the conference tournament final, committee might give them a look. That's why they're still on that board up there. But that's
Right.
probably
And
it.
if I could just have a quick moment here, and I think you all are with me with this. I know that Bernadette McClaid is probably watching, big fan of ours. Beef up your schedules.
Well, talking about schedules, Stalica, you got it in your tagline there. Friday night, first time this season, first out of two times, the best rivalry in the A-10 is back.
The Arch Barron Cup, which probably means St. Louis is going to win the first leg of this rivalry.
Oh.
St. Louis at Dayton, the Arch Barron
Woo,
Cup.
woo,
This is
woo.
one of the great made-up rivalries of all time.
Yes.
May not quite be the Gauch Eater, but it's close.
Yeah. Oh, the Gauch Cheater might be the biggest UC rivalry outside. It's certainly bigger than UCLA and Cal.
Looks like VCU is actually off until next Wednesday when they go to Rhode Island. So
Yeah.
there's a few other games up there. Let's try to keep things rolling here. Griggs, the Big Sky Conference next. One of only very small handful, I believe, four teams left in the nation that are undefeated in conference play. One of them is the Eastern Washington Eagles. They win at Sacramento State. They win at Portland State. Both double-digit wins this week.
Yeah, running kind of running away with it with six games to go. They have a two-game lead, so they're getting very close to clinching the first place spot. Doesn't mean as much as it used to because the conference tournament is a predetermined site, but it still gives them the advantage. And I believe this conference does a reseed. Am I correct
No.
or incorrect? They do
No,
not.
you're they do not. It's a straight bracket. The
Straight bracket.
games are
Okay.
in Boise, not that far from Eastern Washington, so.
Yeah. But again, when you're talking under the radar, as far as the NCAA tournament implications go, even if they run the table, they'll have to win the conference tournament. But it does get them an NIT bid, and which is no small thing for an under the radar school.
I think
Granted, but they want the.
the NEC is the only conference I know of that does reseeding.
Okay.
There's a couple.
There's a few that,
There's a
yeah.
few. The America East, I believe, does it as well. You can check out the conference tournament tabs. It is noted in
Yeah,
there.
it's all up there. I could have just looked, but I didn't because what's the point in trying to maintain any show integrity now?
Saturday, Eastern Washington and Idaho.
Yeah. Okay.
That's their game. Montana State has a pair of games. They're the second place team. They're at Weber and at Idaho State this week. Only one game for Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Stalika, over in the Colonial, where a couple weeks now Charleston is back. They remain back here. They, especially the strength of what they did last Thursday night, almost a week ago, when they went to Drexel.
Yeah, they had the tough trip when they fell with Drexel and then needed a little bit of a boost against Delaware just to get the win right there. Now, tonight they left no doubt when they were hosting UNC Wilmington. They started out small with a 3-point lead late in the first half, and then a 22-2 run basically put them ahead for good, and they were never seriously challenged after that.
We got to really look, though, Griggs, at what Hofstra's been doing after the win over Charleston.
Yes.
Tough win over a very good Towson team that's in third place. Then blew out Stony Brook, and tonight they went to Northeastern and blew them out of the building as well.
Yeah, while Hofstra doesn't have the entire resume to get them inside the bubble, they may be the most dangerous team in this conference, and they might actually be playing. I would have said this before tonight because Charleston just looked amazing tonight, but they might be every bit as dangerous as Charleston is in the round of 64 if they can get there, which they'll have to win the auto bid to do.
Hey, they have one loss in 2023 as their game at Towson. They've won every other game since the calendar turned over to
Right.
this year. So
And
now,
they've gone
before the calendar turned, they would do things like losing to
before.
North Carolina A&T at home on New Year's Eve. But since
Yeah.
the calendar turned, they've been very, very good.
Yeah, and this was a team that we liked coming into the year. I think they let us down a little bit. They had a nice win against Iona, but outside of that, but they went to Charleston and won. To get that win on the road is no small feat. This is a dangerous team. If they appear on the 13 or 14 line, I bet the whoever gets matched up with them is going to be wishing they could play someone on the 11 or 12 instead.
And they are in line to be the one seed in the conference tournament now. Look at their
Yeah.
last five regular season games. There's no reason they should lose any of those games, and they should get
Right.
that one seed. Charleston's slightly tougher just because they have a game with Towson left, albeit it is a home game, at least for them.
Yeah. So, and some good teams in this, like, there's a lot of dead weight, but teams 1 through 4 and really 1 through 5 could be dangerous. Probably not in the round of 64, but okay, 1 through 3 could be dangerous in the round of 64.
One through three. Not
Yeah.
much to really circle in terms of games this week. None of these top teams are playing each other head to
Right.
head after tonight's Charleston Wellington game. But stick with you, Griggs. Over in Conference USA, they're back despite the 18 net. They just missed the top 25 in the AP poll after their loss. They just missed the top 25 in the coaches poll. Florida Atlantic, for this week at least, is under the radar after the loss to UAB. Very impressive though when the road went at Charlotte, bouncing back from that.
Yeah, and they went to Charlotte, not the easiest place to play. I know Charlotte's way down in the standings, but they won decisively. UAB,
They've got one of these in that building, so you
yeah,
got to be
Charlotte has
careful.
one of those. I mean, don't dismiss that is ridiculous. Oh, we've got messed up floors, but pulling up Florida A&M here,
Florida Atlantic.
or
I can pull up
Florida
Florida
Atlantic.
A&M.
Good
If you want me to
grief.
pull up Florida A&M, I'll be happy to. But
Let's stick with Florida Atlantic.
okay.
I mean, this profile is getting stronger and stronger. I don't think that they're outside the bubble, even though they lost. As we learned today, if you haven't seen John Tytel's article, you need to read it. The committee spends 4 to 5 hours a day, each member, watching college basketball and communicating and closely monitoring the conferences. And anyone with a brain knows how well UAB is suddenly playing and how hard of a road game that would have been the win. So I still think they're solidly inside the bubble. If they went out, or even if they drop one more, but if they went out through the regular season, I think FAU is in on the first ballot before the CUSA tournament even starts.
Yeah, it's like a look at the rest of their schedule. A road game at Rice, the hardest thing left. I mean, Rice had a little streak where they're playing well, but Rice has kind of fallen back a little bit now.
Yeah, Rice did drop a pair of games right here. It did give North Texas a chance to solidify their profile a little bit. But FAU actually gets Rice twice over the next 4 weeks right here. Well, Rice and Louisiana Tech, since they're both travel partners.
Right. And if we look ahead this week, the most interesting game, not necessarily Florida Atlantic, who's hosting Rice and hosting Louisiana Tech. I think they should win both those games.
Yeah.
It's this UAB, tomorrow night's UAB at North Texas, the second and third place teams. I think that is a very interesting game. Both teams below the bubble. Neither team, I think, is going to be able to get up to that bubble line.
No, they won't. Yeah.
But these are teams, either one of these teams could win the conference tournament.
Right. And UAB, it took them a while to get going. This was a team that we really liked prior to the season. We talked about them. Maybe we thought if you'd have said there's a team from Conference USA that's going to crack the rankings, I think that would have been our guess as to who it would have been. But the last 2 weeks in particular, they're finally looking like the team that we thought they would be. Now, it took them too long to get there, and they'll need to win the conference tournament, but they could go to North Texas and win as well as they've been playing.
They have the toughest schedule of everybody left just because they only have two home games, five road games left for UAB this season. On the other hand, it could make the resume look a little nicer.
But right.
Again, not it's just not going to be good enough to get consideration, even with a win out, not in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also, keep an eye on 100 miles of hate between Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky coming up tomorrow night. Hilltoppers could play spoiler.
Yeah. The Hilltoppers really could. I mean, they're sitting there in the eighth seed, but there's enough talent on this team to spoil the conference tournament.
Or
to lose the 8-9 game.
Right. Western Kentucky doing what they always do. They have an exceptionally talented team that can beat top 40 teams, but they go out and they lose to sub 200 teams multiple times. Louisville in particular.
Stalika, shall we talk about one of the biggest upsets we've seen in Horizon League play in many a moon, when Green Bay, fresh off of their loss on Saturday to IUPUI, one of, if not the worst team in Division One, goes to Milwaukee Monday night and wins against what had been a team that was tied for first place.
I mean, it's not often we use the phrase devastating victory after they got a clutch loss in a centenary matchup with IUPUI in Green Bay, and they pull this stunt in overtime.
They don't even have a head coach. They fired their head coach 2 weeks ago, and it was absolute shocker in Horizon League. This Milwaukee team, we've been praising how well they've been playing, loses at home in overtime. I know it's a rivalry and all, but
sort
still,
of.
The two.
Well, it is. It is. Teams, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just that the temperature of that rivalry has been tempered in the years that neither one of them has been any good. But, you know, Milwaukee was having a big year there. But you know what it did, Chad? Do you have Penguin fever? Is there anything more exciting than seeing Penguins win basketball?
From Thursday night's triple overtime thriller against Wright State, they blow out Northern Kentucky the other night. Are they playing tonight? I guess maybe they're playing tomorrow. But how about those Penguins? First place, sole possession. I'm absolutely on this Penguin bandwagon.
Yeah, if you just watch the show and you don't really watch, and maybe you pick and choose what under the radar games you watch. Are they at home tomorrow? Because that has become destination television for me, because their arena is full and people are going nuts. This is awesome.
Yeah, they're actually playing Friday night at Fort Wayne and then Sunday at Cleveland State. They got Friday,
so
Sunday
we don't get
week.
To see them. But hopefully the Penguin, hopefully they bring some fans with them. But what a story! One of the better stories. Certainly under the radar, but how unexpected is this?
The other couple of stories that follow this conference, I guess a couple of things at the conference. First of all, Friday night, while it's not a first place battle per se, although Northern Kentucky's out there, Northern Kentucky at Wright State has turned into a good rivalry.
Yeah, it has.
Sleeker right in your
Unfortunately, it's not
backyard
even the
there.
best rivalry in the Dayton area that
Yeah.
night.
it won't be. And the other story, of course, is we are following Antoine Davis. He is, as we record this, up to 3,399 career points. That would make him 268 behind Pistol Pete. Not sure he's going to get there, but a game at Milwaukee and a game at Green Bay this week to try to keep moving along. What are we going to now? Sleeka, the Ivy League. Real interesting conference here. Remember, only the top four make the conference tournament.
Yeah, this is like the only league that never has expansion rumors or teams looking to leave the Ivy League right here. But if you get beyond that, Princeton won the I think it was the 1-2 matchup between them and Cornell. So now they're a game ahead of Yale, who ended up getting a nice win at Harvard. Always good to win a rivalry game right there.
Right, and then well, the surprise here, Griggs, was Cornell after the loss to Princeton goes to Penn and loses, which both puts Penn back in the map to get into the conference tournament, but knocked Cornell all the way down to third place, and actually now in danger of not making the conference tournament. They're in that tie
Right.
for one
Yeah,
team to
and
make it.
I was so I mean I was really big on Cornell, especially when conference play started, and I was kind of expecting them to kind of run away from the rest of the conference, but that hasn't happened. Kind of a disastrous week where they went from 5-2, which was probably two more losses than I already thought they'd have, to dropping them both, and suddenly two games back of the lead and unlikely to catch back up.
Right.
I think
Well,
we have another big surprise here, and that's the Brown Bears. They win the Brown Mouth Cup, and then they
yeah.
follow that up with a win at Harvard. So Harvard, surprising 3-6, and now suddenly in seventh place. Brown now in
Yeah.
a three-way tie for third.
Yeah, and
Uh-oh.
as far as the games this week, the Cornell at Brown on Saturdays is becomes a fascinating game because if Cornell falls that one, they may come next week, not even be in position to make the conference tournament, not even be in position to be the top four.
Right. And keep in mind, we are getting close to the end. This is a 14-game conference schedule, only eight teams, and this is game number 10. So, it's starting to get pretty heated in this league as far as the importance of the games.
Griggs, over the Metro Atlantic, all of a sudden we have a brand new first place team after Siena shockingly goes to Manhattan and loses a game in overtime, follows it up with a home loss to Niagara, and they're gone. Iona goes back and forth, but the Rider Bronx?
Yeah, not at all. I would have thought that virtually impossible. A 2 weeks ago, and maybe even a week ago, we kind of gave them a shout out last week, but it was a token shout out, and here they are tied for first. Well, really outright first place by a
Half
half
a game
game.
up, yep.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna stay there. I just think Iona and Siena are ultimately going to jump over them before it's over, but you can't ignore that. They're handling their business.
Well, Iona's looking for assistant coaches who might want to have eligibility left to play. They've got so many injuries on the roster right now.
Right, yeah, and that has ravaged them this year.
But they've got a road trips to the Buffalo area with road trips at Canisius and at Niagara this week. While Rider is at home, they're hosting Fairfield, and then looks like they might have to be the team that's off on Sunday.
Yeah.
Siena
Not
at
so
Mount St.
sure
Mary's
about
hosting Marist.
that Canisius game, but Niagara is going to be pretty tricky for the Gales.
Yeah, Canisius down in last place, but the trip to Niagara, and if they lose that, Rider wins at home against a Fairfield team. That could be outright first place come next week for the Bronx. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it was a shock that we were discussing Quinnipiac there. I thought it was a shock we were discussing Siena earlier this year. This is the third different team we've been discussing as a
Right.
potential MAC champion, but we thought Iona would probably go undefeated in regular season at this conference heading into it.
Yeah.
Stalika, Mid-American Conference time, though, where we have a heck of a logjam between, I think, not
Woo-hoo-hoo.
the only three, but four really good teams here.
We thought Akron had gotten a little bit of a separation after winning the wagon wheel against Kent State, but don't forget the Toledo Rockets, I think, were actually the team that was picked to win the MAC in preseason. They quietly get a win at home against Central Michigan, and then they go on the road down the Ohio Turnpike and get a nice 10-point win at Akron following the rivalry game that the Zips won. So now you get the three-way tie, and Ball State's only a game behind the pack there.
Yeah, don't forget this Ball State team. They're a pretty good team, and they found a way now to kind of just, you know, pick up the wins they needed to catch up here. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun. Only the top eight teams make the conference tournament, but if all four of these teams are the top four seeds and all four win their quarterfinal games, it's going to be a ton of fun in Cleveland, I think.
Yeah, if the chalk holds in the quarterfinals, that's an amazing semifinals and finals. And again, will it come down to another wagon wheel final in Cleveland? But even if it doesn't, how much fun would it be to see Toledo or Ball State in the NCAA tournament?
I think any one of those four teams win this bid, and I'd be shocked if one of these four didn't do it. Whoever they get the matchup against them in the first round is going to be scared to death.
Right? Yeah.
These are good teams. They're quality teams. They're not going to be inside the bubble. We thought Kent State for a little while had a shot, but they don't anymore. They really don't. They've got a pair of road trip games this week at Buffalo and at Western Michigan.
Toledo, should get both of those.
Yeah. At Eastern Michigan, hosting Miami, Ohio. Akron at Ohio U, at Eastern Michigan. Toledo, I'm sorry, Ball State, hosting Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. So none of them playing each other this week.
Right.
Stalika, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. And we got to say it again. Huge win this week over Regent. How about Maryland Eastern Shore?
Yep, got to congratulate the Hawks right here and also congratulate Morgan State for, well, is this even an official MEAC game right here? Because it is not highlighted in blue.
No. That Morgan State-Delaware State game did not count for the conference standings because it was part of that, HBCU Legacy Classic games up in Newark. That does not go into the conference standings. They will play Delaware State two other times this season. I think they already played them once. They got one more to go against them. But everybody was off in terms of conference games this week. So we're going to look at what's coming up this week, which is not going to be until Saturday when Eastern Shore is hosting Norfolk State.
That's a big one.
A huge game.
Oh, man,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then they followed up with a trip to Howard. So this is the week where Eastern Shore can either say we are for real or slip back in the pack and maybe never be heard from again.
Right. Go ahead, Sliga.
I think we can go out on a limb and say this will be the under-the-radar game of the day next Monday.
Yeah. But Eastern Shore, what a great story. You know, from the bottom, not just of this conference, but pretty much from all of college basketball, suddenly a front runner with a chance to put some distance between the other two teams that are sort of on their tail. It would be great to see them in the NCAA tournament, but even if they finish first and get the NIT bid, what a turnaround for Eastern Shore.
South Carolina State down there at the bottom of the standings, no wins in conference play, one of two teams in the entire nation without a conference win yet this year. Real good shot on Saturday to get it at hosted conference state.
Hosting conference state, yeah.
But I believe they won at East Carolina in non-conference play, and so they're really not in the centenary discussion at all. So
yeah,
just too good of a win.
It's quite difficult to win the centenary.
Riggs, the other team that without a conference win is Evansville. They're in the Missouri Valley Conference, which is up next. But let's talk about the top of the standings, where we have still a hell of a logjam. Two games, seven teams.
Right. This Drake team, I think, and I know that they really, really had to sweat at Valpo, which was kind of disappointing. But that aside, they finally put together a stretch of games where they're looking like we thought they would. Now, it's
I'm going to do a little magic here for half a second. It might freeze up the screen. It should be back. Adding an extra score there. Bradley won at Illinois State, so that changes the standings a bit.
Okay, so
A little update there. Live update.
Wow. Yeah, but you know, the double overtime at Valpo. Now, I obviously, like, Drake can't get in without the auto bid. They just sort of like shot themselves in the foot way too many times. But as disappointing as we are in Drake, we're disappointed in a 20-6 team that's in first place, which gives you an idea of how good we thought they were going to be and how good they really can be when they play up to their ceiling, and lately they have been. If they get it done in Arch Madness, which I know is assuming a lot considering Bradley and Southern Illinois in particular, how well they've been playing, This is a very, very, very dangerous team.
right,
They're a great defensive team, and they've got four or five guys that can score.
I don't know here. We are recording this right at 10. It's right around 10 o'clock Eastern right now. As we're recording this, Southern Illinois is in the final minute of their game against 11th place UIC and only up 1 point.
Good grief.
They could be in trouble of a very bad loss tonight. And also, I just mentioned Evansville being winless in conference play. With under a minute left to play, they're up 10 on Northern Iowa right now. So it might be down to South Carolina State, the only team winless in conference play after today, in about another few minutes here. So congrats
Just
to
when
the
we
Aces
thought
finally getting a win.
Northern Iowa came out of hibernation, apparently they went back into their cave.
Yeah, they might that might be it for Northern Iowa if they can't win this game. And remember, only the top four teams will get byes of that first round, and everyone else have to play four win 4 games in 4 days to take this conference tournament.
Right.
The rest of the upcoming schedule, other than the two games today, huge game on Saturday, Southern Illinois, who clearly is overlooking their opponent tonight, looking forward to Saturday at Drake. So they better find a way to win this game here tonight in the last few minutes here. That's the big one, I think. I don't know. There's a bunch of other games on there. Watch them all.
Yeah, watch them.
Stalika, Northeast Conference time.
Yep, now we get to the good conference right here, and now we get the Stonehill Stoners now in the first place by half a game, thanks to their win against St. Francis and also a win at St. Francis Brooklyn on Saturday.
This conference, Chad, we love this league, and I need to preface what I'm about to say by saying that it doesn't mean that we love this league any less. Is this the worst conference in the history of college basketball?
This is bad. We only have one team in the top 300 net. That's Wagner, who's in fifth place, but did a little bit non-conference. We only have two teams with winning records against D1s. That's the same Wagner team and FDU. The first place team is 11-14 versus D1 opponents, 12-14 overall. It's a transitional team in their first year of transition. Merrimack, remember this. Merrimack was the preseason pick by everybody. They went winless in non-conference play, except for a couple of non-D1 wins. Here they are. They may actually end up winning this conference regular season title if, after a hard start to the season for Merrimack. So congrats to them, I think, as well.
Yeah, two of the top three teams are transitional. There's no one, there's only one team that's inside the top 300, and they're at 292. This might be the worst league or the worst performing league. It's still the greatest league ever. That I can, I've never, I don't remember seeing anything quite like this.
Central Connecticut picked up a road non-conference win tonight. Come on, Griggs,
Yeah,
at
it
Hartford,
was
but
bit,
you know,
yeah.
I think they're just clearing the way for Long Island to win
Yeah.
the centenary.
Yeah, let's do a little centenary look here. I want to pull up this Long Island profile. This team is only one is the only thing a team I think in the nation with only one D1 win. It was a road win, but it was at Sacred Heart, who
It
is
was at
bad. And
Sacred Heart. Yeah.
look at all those tier
That
four
is a
losses.
lot of sub 300 losses. That is just kind of a work of art, really.
We kind of maybe compare them to IUPUI over here on the right, who has even more sub 300 losses. So, well, actually,
Yeah.
more tier four losses. I think LIU has more sub 300 losses. So
Right,
that
yeah.
makes it a real interesting battle between these two teams. Maybe LIU
Yeah.
currently with a narrow lead for the battle for the
Oof.
worst team in D1.
Right.
Anyhow,
Good
that was.
grief.
Let's get out of the bottom of the here. LIU
Yeah.
hosting Fairleigh Dickinson at Wagner. They got a tough week ahead. The two best teams in the conference.
And they could rack up a few more sub 300 losses. Fairleigh Dickinson, Stonehill and Merrimack are playing in the conference tournament. They can't really win the bid. So Fairleigh Dickinson could really kind of position themselves and put themselves ahead of the teams that are eligible. I think it's going to be them that ends up getting the bid.
Okay. I believe that this conference will actually let the ineligible teams in as well. I'm going to do a real quick double check on that. As we note that Stonehill Merrimack, the two transitional teams playing here Thursday
Yeah.
night. Actually, the way it's going to work this year is the NEC says you've got to be at least 2 years into your transition. So Merrimack is eligible for the Northeast tournament.
Okay.
Stonehill will not be eligible for the Northeast
So
Conference
it'll be an
tournament.
eight-team tournament.
18 to 18 tournament, no Stonehill, no matter what. Merrimack could win the conference tournament. If they do, Fairleigh Dickinson, if they win the regular season title, will get the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament despite not winning it.
Right.
Riggs, over in
Okay.
the Ohio Valley Conference, this is a conference where we had like 3 or 4 weeks in a row these massive ties for first place. We finally have a team in Morehead State that has decided to take control. As everyone else is starting to fall off the pace a little bit, they're actually starting to win games and they've looked good in their last couple of games.
They have for the last I want to say they've won six in a row. So they've started to string together wins and put some distance together. They did lose at home to SEMO, who's just a game behind them, so right on their tail, and they have to go to SEMO, I think, this upcoming weekend. So sort of a big week at the top of the league.
They're at Little Rock. Oh, then at SEMO. Yes. At Little Rock tomorrow night, then at SEMO for Saturday. Yes.
Eight teams make the conference tournament. Lindenwood and Southern Indiana are eligible. So Little Rock trying to a game behind that eighth place spot. They've been one of the more unlucky teams. I think they've lost four of their last six or something, and all of them have been ridiculously close games. One was lost on a half court, excuse me, three quarters court shot. But the story here, Chad, is just sort of the disappointment in Edwardsville. They have turned it around with two straight wins. Are they still the best team in this conference, even though they're now 2 games back of Morehead State in the standings?
I think that's, as you just mentioned, the best team in this conference, and it was a team you mentioned other than Edwardsville. I think Morehead is the best team in this
Okay.
conference. Edwardsville, I've lost all faith in them at this point. And I just got to look at who's playing well right now, and then that is your team that's in first place.
Yeah, and with 6 games to go, if they can get both these road wins, which is a huge if, they're in a position with 4 games left to have a 2-game lead over SEMO, and at that point, you're kind of running downhill.
Yeah, if you look at the range schedule, that they then have three of the last four at home. The road game is at Eastern Illinois, who's also looks like they may not make the conference tournament, despite winning at Iowa this year.
Yeah, despite winning in Iowa, so
Stalika Patriot League, where we thought there's a good chance that the Raiders might go completely undefeated on the entire season, then came Saturday at American.
not terribly surprising because American's usually going to be one of the tougher places to play in the Patriot. But if we're talking about the number one and number two teams, Colgate was not in a good mood, and poor Lehigh, they got smashed.
Yeah, Lehigh, we had been talking about them as being the team that was I was actually surprised you didn't make the Colgate Lehigh the under the radar game of the day today. Good call. This was a complete thrashing tonight. Colgate definitely responded well against the second place team in the conference. Meanwhile, Army had kind of a surprising loss at Bucknell over the weekend as well. Otherwise, they'd be up there in the second place tie. They did bounce back with a win over Loyola tonight. This conference does play the conference tournament at campus site, so that is
Campus
important.
sites.
Colgate who at Bucknell hosting Army this week. That's their next two games, though. But Griggs, how about the SoCon, where we have a three-way tie now for first place after tonight's wins by Furman and Samford?
Samford continues to fascinate. I keep waiting for them to fall off, and they never do. I kind of like this Furman team, but really it's a three horse race and no one else is even remotely close.
Yeah, the only other team with a winning conference record is Western Carolina at 7-6, 4 games off the pace. And they needed double overtime over Wofford tonight to even get to the 7-6. So this looks like it's going to be a great race down the stretch here to see who gets the one seed. And that's, well, you know what else it is, though? Whoever wins of these three will get to avoid the other two teams until the final. One, the
True.
se second and third place teams have a chance to meet in the semifinal and then have to play the other team in the final. So there is a big advantage there in terms of the way conference tournaments are seeded to be the one seed in this conference tournament.
Correct.
They
And I
get to be
believe
on the
that's
other
what
side of the
Furman
bracket.
ended up doing last year.
One of our favorite new rivalries, Stalika, coming up next Wednesday night. It's a first place battle between Greensboro and Samford, the old
Oh,
Green
yeah,
Eggs
the
and
Green
Sam,
Eggs and Sam.
Green Eggs and Sam Cup.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
Oh, we broke the puppet again.
Yeah. Southern
That's
Illinois did win their game. Real statement win at home against UIC. Sorry, I continue.
yes, they did. Evansville also got that win over Northern Iowa, get their first conference win of the season. So congrats to the Aces. They finally got that done. Stalika, Another conference with a massive logjam at the top of it is the Southland Conference with 3-8-3, followed by 1-7-3 team to here, Northwestern State, Corpus Christi, Southeastern Louisiana, even Texas A&M Commerce.
Well, Southeastern Louisiana had the bright lights of ESPNU shining on them on Saturday, and apparently they were not ready because Texas A&M Corpus Christi gets a solid road win and now gets into the logjam of a three-way first-place tie here, along with Northwestern State and the aforementioned CELA Lions.
Right, and don't and Nicholls State only a game back in the Las Colinas as well, so this could be a real exciting battle. And even though it's not on campus sites, this is a ladder format tournament, so getting one of those top two seeds gets you the bye to the semifinals, which is important. Texas A&M Commerce eligible for this conference tournament this year, by the way. If they win it, the regular season champion will get the auto bid. Griggs, any other thoughts on the conference, or should you just move on then?
Northwestern State is the team that has impressed me the most for the as far as throughout the whole season. I know they had a stretch where it didn't look like they were playing well, but they still have that win at TCU. There's some good stuff on their profile. I don't think they're on the 16 line if they win this league.
Interesting week for Northwestern State this week. They get Texas A&M Commerce back to back, home and home Thursday and Saturday. Find out a lot about both those teams. Find out if Commerce is for real as well this week. Other game we're circling Nicholls at Southeastern Louisiana on Saturday. Battle amongst some of these top teams. Greg, sticking with you over in the SWAC,
The SWAC.
where Southern, who had been playing so well, had an awful week losing to Alabama A&M and Alabama State. Now Alcorn State, sole possession of first place.
Yeah, both of those were surprising losses, considering how well they've been playing. I mean, it knocked them off the first place pedestal. It's still within reach, but those were you weren't expecting them to lose one, let alone both of those on the Alabama trip. Does it mean that like our Bayou Classic championship game may be relegated to a semifinal
Uh,
if
as
Alcorn
as
State
it
keeps up?
stands, as it stands right now, yes, that Grambling Southern would be the 2 and 3 seeds in the conference tournament. I think we got to give a little shout out to the bottom of the conference here.
Oh yeah.
SWAC looks like it will not be winning the Centenary this award this year, on the strength of what happened this week. Mississippi Valley and Florida A&M both picking up road wins in conference play. So,
Yeah,
congrats to
and
both of them.
the third D1 win of the season. I don't think we've ever had a Centenary award, or have we, with that many D1 wins,
That
I
would
don't
be a
believe.
that might be a record if it happened, although
Yeah. So, but the other thing about this is only eight teams get in. And when you look at how 10th place and 6th place are separated by one game, you have some intensity down the stretch. We had a really good game the other night that anybody that's in that pack between 6 and 10, every game is a pivotal game.
And I think if I'm anybody in this league, all I want to do is fight to keep Texas Southern out of this conference tournament, because you just know that they're good. You know, if they make that 8 seed, they're somehow going to make a run and win this auto bid. It just kind of seems to be what they do.
Right.
But this week, it's up to both Southern and Grambling to help keep them out of the field, if that's the case.
And Alcorn, our first place team, has the Florida trip this week at Bethune and at FAMU. Stalica, Summit League, and how about those Oral Rob that's this Oral Robert team wins at Kansas City, dominate fashion on Saturday.
Yeah, the odds are getting better and better than Oral Roberts could potentially run the table in the regular season if they were to slip up either in the semis or in the championship game. We should definitely be having a couple discussions about Oral Roberts and their at-large chances. Unfortunately, with most of their wins in Tier 4 and 4 losses against Tier 1, they'd better win the Summit League tournament to go dancing.
I'll tell
I
you,
think so.
Griggs, they become an interesting story here. Now, you win these last six regular season games. That puts you at 27-4. Two more in the conference tournament. You're 29-4, 29-5 overall record. If they lose, if they don't lose until the Summit League conference tournament title game. Now, I will put a little asterisk by that 29-5.
It's 25.
There's four non-D1 wins down there at the bottom, which don't
Right,
really
and
count.
another thing that a lot of bracket gurus are going to point to is the out of conference schedule, which is good, but you need to put an asterisk by that as well, because it's not factoring in four incredibly weak teams. What would it be if Those are what would their strength of schedule have been had all four of those teams been 300 level teams,
And
which is essentially what they were.
you look at this non-conference strength of schedule five, you say, wow, they really scheduled. They scheduled four games. They lost all four of them. Everything else they played non-conference.
Liberty,
Liberty at home, okay, solid, but the rest of this was rest of what they played was garbage. And like you said, four non-D1 games. Had they played four teams that were ranked 300 in the net instead of four non-D1 games, they're not conference strength schedule would be in the 100s probably.
Yeah, and that's what the committee is going to look at. The committee really doesn't. And I again, we've interviewed members of the committee, we've interviewed chairman, and then Tytel had another great interview today with the SWAC commissioner, who blatantly said in the interview that they don't like non-D1 opponents. If that isn't more clear, I don't know what else you can say about that. Like, they're gonna know that that's a mirage. But anyway, they do have a lot of tier four wins. I mean, they've dominated tier four. They have more tier one wins, Chad, than Purdue.
Who has more than tier one wins than Purdue?
No, I said Oral Roberts has more tier four wins
Oh,
than
tier
Purdue.
four wins than Purdue. Okay,
They've
tier
dominated
okay.
tier four.
Okay. Can't be confused there. They are at St. Thomas and at Western Illinois this week. So a pair of road games, at least for Oral Roberts against teams that are in the top half of the standings. So see if they can get through this week as well. But over in the Sun Belt, Stalika, two-way tie now between Southern Miss and Louisiana. They both, I believe, had 2-0 weeks.
Well, they're both separating themselves from Marshall, who ended up losing to Louisiana. I mean, Marshall did hold on for a win at App State, so they're not completely out of the woods here. James Madison also gets a pair of wins, so they're at least in the tie for third right here. It's safe to say, though, that Southern Miss and Louisiana have separated themselves for quite some time.
Yeah, just last week we actually mentioned App State is maybe getting into this. They go 0-2 at home this week, and they're right out of the battle again, I think. But this is going to be a fascinating conference tournament as well, with all 14 teams qualifying. The games being played in Pensacola, Florida,
This is going to be awesome.
and there's a lot of parity in this league. And while I think Griggs that Southern Miss and Louisiana are a step ahead of everybody, I don't think it's a very big step ahead of everybody.
They're not. Marshall doesn't always, I mean, they're a little bit schizophrenic. They're all over the place, but when they play up to the top of their ceiling, they're really good. So is James Madison. I think Old Dominion and Troy are capable of playing really well. This is going to be like once we get the opening round out of the way, I think from the quarterfinals on, this is going to be must-see television.
I don't know. That Coastal Carolina Georgia State 12-13 game could be a good one too, even. Stalika, under the radar game of the day tomorrow, is it a lock for Louisiana at Southern Miss?
Woo-hoo, that's a good one.
I think we have to, especially with both teams with top 100 nets right here.
Yeah, so this is a huge game tomorrow night. Could determine the regular season champion. And I think it's one more circlet. It's kind of a weak night in the schedule tomorrow night, anyhow, for the major conferences. Watch this game. Last but not least, it is Western Athletic Conference time, where Utah Valley wins a big Beehive game at Utah Tech, follows up with a win over California Baptist. There they are in first place at 10-2. Game up in the loss column over Southern Utah. Sam Houston, two games back in the loss column.
Sam Houston, again, probably with the strongest overall profile, especially out of
But
conference,
what
but
did
two
they do
games
on
out of first.
Saturday? What did
They
they do on
lost.
Saturday
Well,
to
they.
Texas Arlington?
That's the other thing about Sam Houston. They are legitimately dangerous, and they're legitimately dangerous to themselves as well.
I want to bring this up here. I think we mentioned this at the top of this at the beginning of the season. We haven't really mentioned it during the course of the season with the WAC. The WAC is not going to be seeding their conference tournament based on conference records. They actually worked with KenPom and developed a weighted formula that involves your entire record. And we really haven't discussed it, but I did save it. I want to put it up on the screen. This is heading into the day today, after games of February 7th, what the actual standings would be. For the seeding would be for the conference tournament. The big difference here, see Sam
WAC
Houston
points.
actually is a two seed right now. Texas Arlington not in last place, but they would be the team left out. Only the top 12 make it, despite them having a better conference record than New Mexico State. I don't think I like this system, but it is
I
what it
don't
is.
either. I mean, Ken Pomeroy, he's been on our show. He's a I really appreciate what he does. I find it very interesting, not just interesting, but useful and informative. But I just think that a conference record is just that.
And the idea here was such unbalanced conference schedule with 13 teams in the league. But then you know what? Don't put 13 teams in your damn league. That's my answer to
And
that.
it is slimming up next year. Seattle, a little disappointing, a team we were really big on just a week or two
A
ago.
crazy loss to New Mexico State. One of the reasons why New Mexico State is actually the 12th team right now, despite a worse record than Texas Arlington, that huge win over Seattle this weekend. Where are we up to now? How about the upcoming schedule first in the WAC. Let's real quick do the upcoming schedule. We've got where's Utah Valley doing? They're hosting Southern Utah, another Beehive game this
Another
week.
beehive, yeah.
And are they on the schedule anymore? Or is it just one game? I guess it's just one game on there right now.
Yeah, Tarleton and Utah Tech. Sam Houston's got the same Texas Arlington team that they just lost to. Seattle going to Baptist, or Cal
Grand
Baptist.
Canyon, Seattle, another good game in there. Salika. I know you love the two independents this year. We got to talk about them. Chicago State and Hartford played head to head on Saturday. Dominant win for Chicago State.
Yeah, I couldn't feature this one in under the radar on Saturday because we had the legendary matchup between IUPUI and Green Bay. I promise we will get the rematch written up when they both meet at Chicago State shortly.
Yeah, Chicago State a little disappointed with the win with the loss at Delaware State on Tuesday
Yeah,
night.
I thought they were going to get that one, especially at home.
Hartford making a strong case for the Centenary Award with a pair of bad losses. They are at South Alabama Monday. I don't expect them to win that one. Chicago State hosting Xavier.
Hosting
Your school,
Xavier. Wow.
Stalika. They go to Chicago State.
I did not go to St. Xavier for high school.
St.
Not the one in
Xavier.
Cincinnati, not the one in Louisville, not the one in Phoenix.
I think it's a it's I think it's in Chicago. Once
It
you get below
is,
D
yeah.
one, I'm worthless. Okay.
Mythical conference time, the Front Range Conference. Colorado still continues to lead the way. Denver may not be playing a game all season. A little disappointing for
Yeah,
them.
I know. I hate to see that.
Unless maybe they get one in postseason play somewhere, but maybe they could get to the CBI or something.
I don't know. I have a Front Range source, and he says that there's talk of bringing the full round robin back, but they just can't get everybody on board.
Okay.
At least on Saturday, we will get the Front Range versus the Beehive in the Pac-12.
Let's see. Our new conference, the Back Range, a little bit disappointing this year. We do have Arizona still leading it, but only at 1-0.
We also have some back range sources, and I asked them about it, and they said, "What the hell is the back range?"
Yeah, that's about it for the Back Range. Well, let's Beehive Conference. How about the Beehive Conference? So this one's been the most exciting one this year, I think. Southern Utah sitting here at 1-0 in conference
Big one,
play,
yeah.
but they've got the big game this week as they are going to be going up against there it is on Saturday at Utah Valley. This could decide the Southern Utah wins this game. I believe they may clinch the title.
Yeah, I believe so. That
Kind
would
of a
be
weird.
crazy.
Kind of a weird situation where Utah Valley is leading the WAC, but they're second to last in the Beehive right there.
But multiple, yeah.
You had two WAC teams in the Beehive that are also in the Beehive. So Utah Tech and Southern Utah, both in the Beehive, both of the WAC and the Beehive also, both leading
This
Utah
one,
Valley.
they all, I mean, some of these schools have recently transitioned up, but they all used to play each other, and it's disappointing to see that they're getting more and more away from that.
Let's go to our under the rare top 10. The three of us, as long as our good friend Rocco Miller submitted real ballots, not the fake ballots that included all the entire Mountain West Conference and the like. But honorable mentions, teams that got votes but did not quite make our top
Did
10.
all of those teams really get votes?
Yes, Utah Valley, Hofstra, Southern Illinois, Louisiana, Eastern Washington, St. Louis, UAB, Sam Houston, Liberty all got at least one vote to be at or near the top 10 here. Those last two teams actually got votes to be honorable mentions. They didn't get votes to be the top 10, but everyone
Unfortunately,
else.
Chad Sherwood did not think that basket floors were eligible, so I'm sorry, Edward Waters College and Maine.
Maine did not make a top 10. I don't think. Well, let's go through the top. We had two-way tie for ninth between Drake and Dayton.
Wow, Drake moving back up into the poll.
Yep.
Making some noise. They're good. They're dangerous.
Dayton hanging on there at the very bottom of the poll as well. Eighth place, we had UC Santa Barbara, despite the loss.
Despite a horrible loss, still in the poll.
Two-way tie for sixth place here between North Texas and VCU.
VCU.
Our A-10 leader getting
it
up
It feels
there.
Weird voting for A-10 teams.
Fifth place, Southern Miss. We just talked
Southern
about
Miss,
that huge game tomorrow night.
Huge game tomorrow night.
That's what I just said.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That's what I just said.
We got Kent State in fourth place, despite their loss of the wagon wheel. Still the best team in the MAC, according to this poll, at least. Third place, College of Charleston. Maybe even be second place if we voted before tonight's game. Yeah. In second place, though, Oral Roberts, undefeated in conference play, really looking good, moving towards the top of the standings.
More tier four wins than Purdue?
Could be in first place next week if our first place team is no longer eligible, because I don't think it's any surprise, but.
Florida, the drum roll didn't
Atlantic.
Work. But Florida Atlantic,
Didn't work. You guys didn't hear the drum roll?
I didn't hear
it. All they're getting is a rim shot this week.
Right, a little problem with our drum roll this week. I'll have to figure out what happened there next week. Anyhow, Florida Atlantic, first place team. On that note, let's go to final thoughts. Stalika?
I know we only have about 2 weeks remaining for some of the under-the-radar conferences as far as the regular season goes, and some of the larger conferences even here, we're only going to have 3 weeks. So running out of time to get your picks in for the Arch Baron Cup and the Harewood Horse Trophy for Player of the Game.
Riggs, you want to finish this monstrosity of a show out, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. I guess my final thought is I think that there's a lot of under-the-radar teams that are playing better now than what their profiles indicate and show. And while I think the problem was, it's not that they're not deserving. It's not that they're deserving of a bid and they're not going to get it, so much as that they just didn't always play up to their ceiling like they could, but they suddenly are now. UAB, a team that isn't even in our rankings, might be playing better than anyone else in CUSA now. And if they can keep winning at this clip and win the auto bid, how dangerous are they all of a sudden? Kent State, very dangerous. So is Akron. So is Ball State. College of Charleston and Hofstra might even be more dangerous than they are. No, they're not. They didn't even get a single vote.
They were an honorable mention.
They weren't all honorable mention. Okay.
Yeah.
But they might actually be more scary than Charleston is, even though their profile isn't as good. So don't be surprised. You see it every year, but it just feels, are there more? I guess my final thought is sort of an inquiry and a question for you two, who we've done this every year for years. Are there more dangerous teams in the 12-13 range than what we normally see? I think there are.
Well, I think, here's one thing. A couple of these teams that we talk about here as being really dangerous, I guarantee you they're not going to be played in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
They will get upset in their conference tournament. First of all, Charleston and Hofstra will not both be in there. One of them,
I agree with that.
Not be. UAB and North Texas will definitely not both be in there. One of them, or maybe both of them, won't even make the conference, make the NCAA tournament if Florida Atlantic wins the CUSA tournament. Kent State, for all we know, when we get to championship week, Eastern Michigan's going to win the MAC tournament. So we got to get through championship weeks. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to see two or three of these teams at least, maybe four. They're going to be the 12 line, shot being down the 13 line. And if I'm playing them, I'd be scared to death right now. I really would be. And we'll see who they might match up against.
Drake's another team. Yeah.
Tomorrow night, we'll be building a bracket, and we will be building a seed list on the air with our bracket rundown show. You get a chance to see who these teams might match up against.
Yep.
But on that note, I guess I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs down there, John Sleek over here, Chad Sherwood right here, talk to you again real soon.